I'm thankful for his influence in my life. And I heard him preach for the first time in 1995. I'd never heard him before. He's been an influence ever since. Dr. Gray, thank you for coming to our church. Thank you for being here. And why don't you come on up, and I'll let him, he's got the rest of the time.
Thank you for coming this morning, and looking forward to anybody did not get the book. We have enough for everybody. Anybody did not get the book, just raise your hand. The ushers have them. They'd be glad to give them to you. Absolutely free. And I'll sign it, and when I die, it'll be worth a lot of money. Okay, don't laugh. My wife gave this to me. She's a jokester. And I'm a little, when I drive, I may speed. I shouldn't do it, but I got a heavy foot. So she gave this to me. These are hymns that I can sing when I'm driving. She got a hymn, 45 miles an hour, God will take care of you. At 55 miles an hour, guide me, O thou great Jehovah. At 65, near my God to thee. At 75 miles an hour, nearer, still nearer. 85 miles an hour, this world is not my home. At 95, Lord, I'm coming home. And when you go over 100, it's precious memories. So I like that. That's kind of cute. I'll start my 49th year of ministry on April the 2nd of this year. And my wife and I have been married 55 years. We have two boys, two girls. The both boys are pastors. The girls want to be, but we won't let them. And we have 10 grandchildren, and we have 8 going on 9 great-grandchildren. And so all of my kids are soul winners, and I'm just tickled with that. I'm just tickled with it that my two boys are pastoring and doing great works, and we're very, very, very proud of them. I started a college in 1982, Texas Baptist College. We have over 420 graduates serving around the world. For that, we're very, very we're thrilled about that. And I stand on the shoulders of those who preceded me. I've tried to do my best to learn from Dr. Rice, Dr. Lee Robertson, Dr. Hiles, and Lester Roloff, and many, Tom Malone, and many others. And those great men were used of God to do great work. So I take those Bible principles that they taught and have tried to employ them in my life. And so I got saved at age 11. I got saved on a Sunday night after church. I went home. I went to the altar. I was an American Baptist church. I went to the altar, but nobody opened the Bible to show me what to do to be saved. And so I went home, and it was my mother who quoted Romans 10:13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." And she said, "That doesn't mean maybe. That's for sure." And so I got in my bedroom, got on my knees, and invited Christ to my heart. So I love the Lord. I'm far from being a perfect person, that's for sure. I loved the introduction. I couldn't wait to hear me. I have a horrible temper. I've got a terrible temper. I have to watch it all the time. Of course, I know you people don't have that problem. I was taking my wife to the hospital to Tyler, Texas, and a woman cut me off. I mean, just cut right in front of me like that. And I went in the ditch and bounced around and got back up. And I thought, what? So I floorboarded that car, buddy, and I pulled up there next to her, rolled that power window down. I was about to give her a piece of my mind. My wife looks at me and says, "Honey, don't do that. They may be church members." So she put me in my place. Then she really hurt me, and she said, "And they think we're Christians." But anyway, it's good to be with you today. Take your Bibles, please, and turn to Matthew chapter 18. By the way, I'll take the fear out of soul winning tomorrow. I will. I will take it. You may be scared, afraid, and so on. I will take the fear out of your soul if you'll come for those lessons in the morning. They'll be very, very helpful. And you're not compelled to go soul winning that afternoon. You make sure that you're here for that. But I will give you some thoughts. Honestly, it'll just take the fear out of it. I've been soul winning with John Rice. I've been soul winning with Tom Malone. I've been soul winning with Lee Robertson. I've been soul winning with Brother Hiles. those men were great men, but they were all personal soul winners. And I learned so much from them, and I want to pass that on. And then the Lost Commandment is about honor. I've written 36 books. This is my 36th book. It's about honor. We're tearing statues down of people who've done great things, but we say, oh, they were sinners, they're flawed, and so on. Well, the people tearing them down are worse than the ones they're tearing down. It's a shame, but honor is the first commandment with promise of a long life. Not obeying, but honor. And so I deal with that in the book, and I give it to a young person. If you have the book, you read it, pass it on and give it to a young people need this truth right there. All right, that's as nice as I'm going to be to you. You're going to get it now. Matthew chapter 18, please. Matthew chapter 18. Let's stand, verse 35, if you'll find that. Now, we're going to go back to verse 23, and I'm going to go through these scriptures, but I want to start with verse 35. That's Matthew chapter 18, verse 35. So likewise, now, whatever we're discussing here, whatever the Lord's giving us, He is saying likewise. Now, He said, now we're going to apply it to you. Scripture ought to be applicable. It ought to apply to you. It ought to be life-changing to you. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also. So whatever He's talking about here, He's saying, don't remove yourself from these scriptures. I'm giving you this for your sake. So also unto you. If ye from your hearts, now He didn't say head, but He said from the heart. This is very important for your heart. Forgive not everyone his brother, and then underline these two words, if you will, their trespasses. Their trespasses. We have got to learn to forgive. We have to have forgiveness. We have to have. All you have in your neighborhood's people. All you have at work, when you go to work, is people. And your family, do you have people in your family like I have in mine who've been everywhere, done everything, seen everything, and just know it all? It's rough at Christmas time. But you're not going to laugh, are you? But anyway, you have to understand that you have likes and dislikes. I live in Texas. So naturally, the Dallas Cowboys always come up. And they can't win anything, but I like the Dallas Cowboys. Well, up here, where am I at? I'm in Maryland. Maryland. Do you have a football team up here? The what?
Redskins.
Who? Redskins. I thought they were going to change the name, and when I saw it, I thought they were going to take Washington out of the name. But never mind. So we all have likes and dislikes. We have certain colors we like, certain foods we like, certain people we like, there's favorites that we have. But that's nature. That's human nature. Now, we have got to learn to get along with each other. We have to, because all we have is each other. And we've got to do that. If you divorce your husband, you'll marry another one just like him. You divorce your wife, you'll marry another one just like her. Because you got the same likes and dislikes after you divorced that you had before. I've seen it through the years, and so I want to talk about the word forgiveness. Get your pen out, and take notes. This is Sunday school.
Amen.
So we're going to school.
Amen.
And I'm going to give you an exam at the end of the class. And if you flunk, you're going to the nursery. That's where you're going. Father, thank you for the pastor, and thank you for his leadership, and thank you for what you've done here through this man of God. And Lord, I do not take it lightly, standing in this pulpit where the man of God speaks and teaches. Help me to help to put one more brick of truth in the wall of life. Please help me. In Jesus' name, I beg for your help. Amen. You may be seated. Can you hand me my water, if you don't mind? I left it down there, and I apologize. All right, I want you to write down the word forgiveness. The word forgiveness. The word forgiveness. Then, I want you to do this. You got written down the word forgiveness. I'm going to break that English word down into two parts. So we've got the word forgiveness. I'm going to break it down into two parts. The first part is the word from, F-R-O-M. So the word forgiveness, I'm going to help us define it. It's broken down, the English word is broken down into two parts. The first part is the word from. The second is to send. Okay? So the word forgiveness, the English word broken down into two parts, is from and to send. This is very important. So forgiveness means to send away from. It does not mean that it never existed. It means it did exist. And it means that we want it gone. We ought to be able to come to church and say hi to everybody, God bless you, without things bouncing up in our mind about that person. It's amazing to me. We're funny creatures, aren't we? We like people who like us. We don't like people who don't like us. So everything's about us. And that's what gets us in trouble.
Yes, sir.
Because you cannot define being a Christian if you can't define living for others. Because that's what a Christian is. All right? So, you help me now. The word English word forgiveness comes from two parts. The first part is the word what?
From.
Louder. It's what?
From.
All right? The second part is what?
Send.
So, to put it together, it means to send away from. Okay, got it? To send away from. It did exist. It's reality. It exists. But I want it gone. And God's going to have to teach us how to do that. Because here's two women getting into it. But they're fussing with each other and fussing and fussing. I use women as example only. But they're fussing with each other. And finally, just they say, look, this is not right. I forgive you. And she, I forgive you. And so then they part. Then the next Sunday, one lady walks in, sits down. The other lady walks in. And the first lady says, look at her. The nerve of that woman. After what she did to me, look at her smiling like she ain't never done nothing wrong. Look at her sitting there singing the hymns like she just ain't never done nothing. After what she did to me, and look, saying, amen, preacher, amen, preacher, amen, preacher. The nerve of that woman, the nerve of that woman. Now, wait a minute, I thought you forgave her.
Right.
And don't tell me, God has a sense of humor. You know who's going to be your next door neighbor for all eternity? That woman. Now, forgiveness, we have to take advantage of forgiveness, or we can't survive.
Right.
We can't survive at work, or at home, or neighborhood, or family, or church. We can't do it. All right? So, all right, let's back up. The English word forgiveness comes from two parts. What's the first part?
From.
Second part?
Sin.
Put it together, it means to send away from. We want it gone. All right? Two other words I want you to write down. The word forgive. Forgive. To forgive is hard. So write that down. To forgive is hard. Let's face it, it's hard. And I'm going to tell you why it's hard. It is hard to forgive because you have hurt me and you have hurt mine. You've gotten into my world. And when you got into my world, and then you realize that you said something that offended me, you go, oh, I'm sorry. I thought you knew your wife was ugly. I'm sorry. Listen, if you don't like to laugh, we're going to have trouble for 2 days. I'm in there right now. All I do is go to church. That's where but anyway, so to forgive is hard. And why is it hard? Because you've hurt me and you've hurt mine. And then when it's obvious that you've hurt me, and then you say, oh, I'm sorry, forgive me. Oh, yeah, easy for you to say. After what you said and what you did, all right, let's back up. Forgiveness comes from two parts. What's the first part?
From.
Second part?
Sin.
Put it together, it means to send away from. To forgive, hard or easy?
Hard.
All right, write down forgiven. Forgiven. To be forgiven is easy. That's easy. To be forgiven is easy. To forgive is hard because you have hurt me and you've hurt mine. To be forgiven is easy. Because you have hurt them and you've hurt theirs. It's not in your bubble. It's not in your world. So you hurt them and you hurt theirs. Well, to be forgiven, that's easy. But if I'm the recipient of it, you follow what I'm saying? If I'm the recipient of it, then, boy, to forgive you is awful hard to do. It's hard to do, but can be done. It can be done, but it's hard to do. And we need to face that. Now, write this down. The law of sowing and reaping. Just write down sowing and reaping. I'm trying to build a case here like a lawyer would, and I want you to follow me carefully. Sowing and reaping. What does that mean? You are guilty of both. You have hurt them and hurt theirs, and you have been hurt by them. So you have been hurt, yours have been hurt. They have been hurt, and you have both happened to you. Now, when you the Bible says, for all have what? Sinned. Okay, help me. For all have sinned. Louder. For all have sinned. Does that mean you? Okay, why don't we put another word in there? For all have gossiped. Hurt, didn't it? For all have gossiped. Say it with me. For all have gossiped. Well, we're all sinners, right? At one time or another, you did what they did to you. But you don't want to admit it. Because you'd have to get right with God. And we'll never have revival, according to 2 Chronicles 7:14, until we do, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves. Then the result is you'll forgive their sins and heal their land. Well, that's not going to happen if it's not the people who are not God's people, it's the people who are God's people. All right, let's back up. The English word forgiveness comes from two parts. What's the first word? From. Second word? Sin. Put it together, it means to send away from. Help me now. To forgive is hard or easy?
Hard.
Because you have hurt me and you've hurt mine. Say it with me. You have hurt me and you've hurt mine. Has it happened to you? Of course it has. You're breathing, you're alive. It's happened to you. All right? To be forgiven, hard or easy?
Easy.
Because you have hurt them and you've hurt theirs. All right? Are we guilty of both?
Yes.
For all have what?
Sin.
So we're guilty. Right? Okay. Now, write this down. Leviticus 6, chapter 16. Don't turn there, just write it down. Leviticus chapter 16. In Leviticus chapter 16, and don't be afraid of the Old Testament. The Old Testament gives you in story form with parameters that give explanation for the doctrine in the New Testament. So in Leviticus chapter 16, God is dealing with the nation Israel. Now, Israel has sinned. And God is teaching the nation Israel how to get genuine forgiveness. All right? In Leviticus chapter 16, he tells them to take two goats. I want you to take two goats. And I want you to kill the first goat. I want you to take that blood and put it on the head of the live goat and send it into the wilderness, listen to this, never to come back again. All right? You got it? So he tells the nation Israel has sinned. He said, I want you to take two goats. What are we going to do with the first goat?
Kill it.
Louder. What are we going to do?
Kill it.
What are we going to do with the blood? Second live goat. Where are we going to send it?
Wilderness.
Never to come back again. All right, I have a question for you. Who sinned here? The goats or Israel?
Israel
did. All right, so what is God doing? God is taking that which is innocent. And it is paying the price. In order to have the sins of the nation cleansed. You got it? Now he's teaching us here a great truth. He is saying to us, the innocent must pay before it can be sent away. The reason it keeps coming back is because you're expecting them to pay. You expect somebody else to pay, but you ain't about to pay. You're not about to go to the altar and get right with God and then do what the Bible says to do to your enemies. But you have to do that if it's to be sent away. Listen, don't come to me and talk to me about enemies that you got. I don't even want to hear it. I've had books written against me. I was at a sword conference one time. Dr. Rice had me take an aisle here and aisle here. And the first part of the invitation to the sword conference, a lady walked down and said, I've hated you for years. I didn't even know the woman. And to know me is to love me. So don't even talk. I've had articles written against me. I've had books written against me. I've had everything in the world that can happen to a guy happen to me. Not as bad as others. Others, Dr. Hiles and Dr. Rice. Dr. Rice one time had the sword drop from 200,000 subscriptions down to 18,000 because he took Baylor University to task. about alcohol and about dancing on campus and so on. He took a strong stand on it. Well, it hurt him, but he built it back up to 200,000, but he was not a vindictive man. He was an honest man, a sincere man. Now, let's back up. The English word forgiveness comes from two parts. What's the first part? From. You're doing good. What's the second part?
Sin.
Put it together, it means to send away from. It means it existed, right? To forgive, hard or easy?
Hard.
Because you have hurt me and you've hurt. Talk to me now. You have hurt me and you've hurt mine. To forgive, hard or easy?
Easy.
Because you have hurt them and you've hurt theirs. All right. In Leviticus chapter 16, he told the nation Israel who had sinned, he said, I want you to take two goats, kill the first goat, put blood on the second live goat and send it in the wilderness never to come back again. I want it gone. All right. Write this down. Two doves. He told them also, he said, if you're a real poor family and doves, that's why Jesus whipped the money changers out of the temple. Because they were selling doves, which were free to God's people. They said, get a dove anywhere. And so he said, I want you to take two doves. I want you to kill the first dove. Put the blood on the head of the second live dove. And let it go. Never to come back again. Question, who sinned here? The dove or Israel?
Israel
did. All right. Was the dove innocent?
Yes.
So he's teaching us a Bible truth here. He is saying you'll never, ever get forgiveness until you understand this principle. The innocent must pay before it can be sent away. Well, she lied on me, so that gives you a right to hate her? Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. You quote it, vengeance is mine. But that's not, it's the Lord's. I have four children. I love my children, but I hate it when they fuss with each other. I hate it. But I look back at my life when I was at home, and so it's not my fault. I had a younger brother, Jerry, who got in trouble. I never got in trouble when I was at home. And my dad had a razor strap. He put it on the wall. I had to walk by it every night when I went to bed. He wanted to make sure I saw it. And Jerry got himself in trouble, and my dad said, bend over. And he took that razor strap, started popping his rear end. My mama's name is Mary. My daddy's name's Perry. My younger brother's name Jerry. And mama, named Mary, thought that dad, named Perry, was going overboard on discipline. And she, like a mother, you know, she said, Daddy, you're going to hurt him. And she stepped in when my dad was drawing back. When she stepped in between, and my dad popped her right on the rear end. And she turned around and she said, Perry. And he said, Mary. He said, if you don't get whipped, get out of the way. Now, what you do many times, and we all do it, is get in the way. Let God deal with it. When God deals with it, He'll you see, we want to kill him. God wants to salvage him.
Yes, sir.
You know, oh God, let him run. Let the Sunday school bus run him over in the parking lot, and I'll tell everybody it was an accident. But anyway, the word for English word forgiveness comes from two parts. What's the first part? I can't hear you.
From.
Second part?
Sin.
Put it together. It means to send away from. It means it existed, right? For all have. Sin. All right, so for all have gossiped. Everyone has. And it's always about somebody that doesn't like you. Okay, now, to forgive, easy or hard?
Hard.
Because you have hurt me? Louder. You have hurt me and you've hurt mine. All right, to be forgiven, hard or easy?
Easy.
Because you have hurt them and you've hurt theirs. Now, Leviticus chapter 16, God said, take two goats. What are we going to do with the first goat?
Kill it.
We're going to put the blood on the live second goat. We're going to send it in the wilderness, never to come back again. That's what God said. All right. Then he said, if you're a real poor family and you can't afford goats, then I want you to take two what?
Doves.
What are we going to do with the first dove?
Kill it.
Put the blood on the second live dove, and we're going to send it off let it fly away, never to come back again. So God wants all of this, this entanglement that we have with personalities or whatever it might be, God says it can be gone if you'll understand the principle. The innocent must pay. All right, I got saved at age 11. I trusted Christ. Now, who was the sinner in this story here? Was Jesus the sinner or was I the sinner? Don't talk to me like that. I was the sinner, and so were you. Okay, so you were guilty. Jesus was innocent. Now, how could you get saved? The only way you can get saved is by he who is innocent pays for you who are guilty. Now, when God looks at you Baptists are funny. You independent Baptists are really funny. You're really funny. You're funny people. Act like a bunch of heathen and then get on your knees and pray. Now, figure that one out. Yet God said, come boldly. Don't miss this. Come boldly. Why? Because your sins, I'll give you some scripture here. Write this down. Psalm 103, verse 12. 103, verse 12. As far as the east is from the west, he hath removed our transgressions from us. Isn't that a wonderful verse? He said, you came to me. You were guilty. My son was innocent. But I let him die. In fact, Jesus could not have died if he had not bore our sins upon his body. He'd still be walking around on planet Earth 2,000 years later because he'd never sinned. So he was innocent. But he bore our transgressions, our sins. And God said, I've taken your sins and pitched them out as far as the east is from the west. Now, picture this now. They're just floating around out there. You see, there is no east pole or west pole. There's a north pole and a south pole. But only in a fundamental church can you get truths like that. But and you see, they don't land anywhere. They don't land anywhere. So you have a right to come boldly to the Lord because all those sins were placed upon the one who was innocent, and that's Jesus. You got it? All right. Write this down. Isaiah 38:17. Here's what it says. Thou hast cast all my sins behind thy back. So Jesus took all of your sins. How many are saved? Let me check you out this morning. Okay. You're saved. He took all of your sins and he said, I pitched them out there. They're not going to land anywhere. And so you who are guilty have your sins paid for by he who is innocent. That's Jesus. Amen. All right. Then he says, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to cast all your sins behind my back. So when you come to God, those sins are behind his back, and you're his son. You're his daughter. He wants to talk to you. He wants to help you. But your sins have been paid for by one who is innocent, and that's Jesus. The nation of Israel was guilty. The goat was innocent. The nation of Israel was guilty. The doves were innocent. And yet God said, I want to teach you, the innocent have got to pay before it can be sent away, never to come back again. All right? So Jesus was innocent. We were guilty. You know, when I got saved at age 11, it's 1957. When I got saved at age 11, all my sins were future. Because Jesus died 2,000 years ago.
Yes, sir.
So before I was a twinkle in anybody's eye, he died for me. I accepted that payment of 2,000 years ago, and all of my sins were future sins. So in God's sight, I am guilty because I've sinned, but I came to Christ who is innocent, and that was God's plan. And you, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, shall be saved. Not maybe, but for sure.
Amen.
So I did that. I was guilty. He was innocent. So he took my sins and pitched them out, and they're just flying around out there. They're not going to land anywhere. Well, if I believed that, I'd live like the devil. Have you ever been whooped? I don't mean whipped. I mean whooped. Let me tell you something. You go ahead and act like a devil after you've been saved. God's going to spank your rear end.
Yes, sir.
You're going to be laying flat on your back looking up, and you'll know it when it happens. You'll know it when it happens. I was a senior in high school on a wrestling team, and I was drifting. I was drifting away. And I was letting some not bad kids, but just influenced men. I was getting lukewarm. And I was in a wrestling match, and It looked like the guy was that didn't show up, the heavyweight guy didn't show up, so he was going to forfeit. So I was going to win. And I was undefeated. I loved it. I loved it. And then I got ready, and they said, oh, no, he's here. This guy was 6'6", came from Centerville, Michigan. Don Carter was his name. He ducked under the doorway to come in. They said the heavyweight made it. And I said to myself, I'm dead in the water. And he slammed me so hard, my knee popped. You could hear it all over the gym. And I laid there, and I knew God was getting a hold of me. And God told me, laying flat on my back, are you ready? Will you listen to me now? And I started to cry. And it wasn't from the pain. It wasn't the physical pain. It was the spiritual pain, because I knew I was drifting away from God. And when you do, God's going to get your attention.
Yes.
Not because he hates you. We didn't spank our kids because we hated them.
Right.
We spanked them because we didn't want them to hurt themselves.
Yes.
All right, now, so write this down, please. Micah 7:19. Micah 7:19. Thou wilt cast all our sins into the depths of the sea. So God, over and over again in Scripture, says, look, if you'll let the one who's innocent, Jesus, pay for your sins, then I'm going to take those sins and I'm going to throw them as far as the east is from the west. They'll never come back up again. Your record, if you're saved, is as clean as can be in heaven. Jesus' righteousness was placed on your record. Your sins were placed on his record. And so you have a right to come boldly to God. You see, this is all the hell you'll ever have as a Christian in this life. This is it. This is all you have. Go ahead and act up. You'll pay. You'll pay. But this is all the hell you'll have. If you're unsaved this morning, this is all the heaven you'll ever have.
Yes, sir.
Now, all right, let me give you another scripture here, if I may. In fact, let me do this. Let's go now and look at the application of this. In Romans 12:21, write that down. In Romans 12:21. In Romans 12:21, God says to us as his children, overcome evil with good. Now that's what he says. He said, I'm going to give you a way to handle this thing. Overcome evil with good. Now the word evil is a word for pain 90% of the time in the scripture. It's not about sin. It's about pain. It's about inflicting pain. Now when someone inflicts pain on you, the thing that God said, the recipe for what you've got to do, is overwhelm that pain they're throwing your way with good that you send back to them. Now, don't do... A lady in Oklahoma, I taught this lesson. She walked up to another lady and said, I've hated your guts for years and I want to make it right. No, don't do that. If you don't like me, don't tell me. I don't want to know about it. And just some things, better off just keeping your mouth shut. And taking it to God. Because 1 John chapter 1 says very clearly that it's this relationship is the relationship that's reflected in this relationship.
Yes, sir.
Okay? You are forgiven. Now you need to forgive.
Yes, sir.
And yours are behind God's back and the depths of the sea and gone, never going to be brought back again. Well, that's exactly the way it ought to be this way with people that are around you. Why are you so shocked at people? Dogs bark, cats meow, and sinners sin. I mean, you're a saved sinner, but don't be shocked when people misspeak or say something they shouldn't have said or do something they shouldn't. Don't be quick to play God and say, okay, vengeance is mine. Now you're going to get it now. All right, let's back up. Forgiveness. English word forgiveness comes from two parts. What's the first part?
From.
You're doing good. Second part? Sin. Put it together, it means to send away from. It exists, but I want it gone. To forgive, hard or easy?
Hard.
Because you have hurt me and you've hurt mine. To be forgiven, hard or easy? Easy. Because you've hurt them and you've hurt theirs. Are we guilty of both? Yes, we are. All right? So if you want to forgive, then you need to be forgiven. And when you forgive someone, You have to remove yourself from the equation. And you're going to have to say, look, she lied about me. That's not true what she said. Okay, you got two options. You can either go ahead and take it. A guy in North Carolina walked up to me and he said, help me with this. I said, okay. He said, there's a guy in this church that owes me $500. I said, really? He said, you taught on forgiveness. He said, every time I see that guy, I think about $500. I said, how long has this been? He said, 20 years. What he said? He said, tell me what to do. I said, forgive the debt. Just forgive it. Don't ever loan people money.
Right.
Don't ever do that. If you give it to them, but don't loan it to them. Because you're asking for trouble. You're just asking for trouble. In Leviticus chapter 16, he said, I want you to take two what? Goats. Very good. Two what? Goats. What are we going to do with the first goat? Kill it. Is the goat innocent?
Yes.
Is Israel guilty?
Yes.
Okay, there's a pattern here, isn't there? Then he said, if you're real poor and you can't afford a goat, then I want you to take two what?
Doves.
What are we going to do with the first dove? Kill it. And are the doves innocent?
Yes.
Is Israel guilty?
Yes.
All right. Jesus, was Jesus innocent or Jesus guilty?
Innocent.
Were we guilty or were we innocent?
Guilty.
So the innocent must pay before it can be sent away. Now, how do we do it? We do it by overcoming evil with good. I need to look. Oh, no. Preacher, I am so sorry.
It's all right.
It's Sunday, double time, right?
Yes.
No, okay. Let's go to Proverbs or Matthew 18. We've got to quickly run through these verses. I am so sorry about this. Verse 23. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king which would take account of his servants. Next verse, verse 24. And when he had begun to reckon, that's an accounting term, balance the books, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. Now, the talent is money. It's either silver or gold. But the Bible doesn't say here which it is. It doesn't say. And so if it were silver, it would be $2,000 a talent. If it were gold, it would be $30,000 a talent. So this guy owed, get this, between $20 million and $300 million. That's as much as my wife's Visa card. I'm kidding. That's a joke. I hope this isn't being taped. Verse 25. But forasmuch as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children and all that he had, and payment to be made. The servant, therefore, fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt. Forgave him the debt? He forgave $20 million to $300 million? You're kidding me. All right, next verse. But the same servant, the guy was forgiven, $20 million, $300 million, went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence. What's that? 17 cents a pence. That's 17 bucks. Now, he owed $20 million to $300 million. Forgive me. Forgive the debt. The guy said, okay, I'll forgive it. He turns and finds somebody owes him money. This guy owes him 17 bucks. Which owed him 100 pence, and he laid hands on him, took him by the throat, saying, pay me that thou owest. Wow, nice guy. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, have patience with me, and I'll pay thee all. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw which was done, and were very sorry, and came and told unto their Lord all that was done, then his Lord, after that he had called him, said to him, O thou wicked what? Servant. Say it. O wicked what?
Servant.
So he's a servant, right? But he was wicked. Why don't we put usher in there? A wicked usher. How about a wicked secretary? A wicked deacon? How about a wicked preacher? Now, we could do that, right?
Yes.
Not doing disservice to the Scripture. But he is tagged as being wicked. Still running his bus route, still an usher, still, but he's wicked. Why? Because he's been forgiven of a greater, but will not forgive a lesser. He's forgiven of $20 million to $300 million. Whew, glad that's taken care of. But you owe me 17 bucks. You better pay me now. I'll throw you into prison. All right? Let's look what it says here. O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desirest me. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even I had pity on thee? And his Lord was what? Wroth. Upset. Listen, you may be a servant, but if you have not forgiven somebody, if you have not sent it away, never to come back again, then you're a wicked servant. And God's upset with you. Doesn't mean you're not his child. Doesn't mean that at all. But boy, I know what it's like to get a cold shoulder from my mama. I know what it was like to get a cold shoulder from my daddy. And I'm just waiting for the other shoe to drop because I knew it was going to come out. Now, I don't want that relationship with the Lord. So, you're saved, right? You're on your way to heaven, right? So, you've been forgiven of hell, right? Okay, then why can't you forgive somebody that gossips about you? Why can't you forgive somebody who lies? I'll not lie about you. Now, I'm going to heaven when I die. My name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and it ain't written down in pencil either. All right? And his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors. So who's being tormented here? The one that will not forgive. That's the one that's in torment. Your enemies are sleeping well while you toss and turn, till he should pay all that he was due him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not everyone his brother their trespasses. So it gets to the heart of the matter. They've hurt you and you're hurt, and to forgive them is hard. But God said, you're innocent, now you go ahead and pay. There was a man who owed a church, he became an evangelist, but owed a church $10,000. I'll quit with this story, illustration. And this, through circumstances and so on, this fellow moved to Longview, and he was a part of our church, but he wasn't on our staff. Well, a deacon called from that church that he had pastored and said, this man has embezzled $10,000 from this church. And I understand he's on your staff, and we're holding you accountable. I called the guy up, and I said, he's not on our staff. He's just a member of our church. He said, no. He said, he told me he was a staff member. I said, well, I don't care what he told you. He's not a staff member. And he said, well, I don't care. He said, I'm holding you and your church accountable for $10,000. I went home and told my wife about it. I said, isn't that the most ridiculous thing you ever heard in your life? And she said, you know, the Bible way would be to pay it. I said, are you out of your ever-living mind? I hate a spiritual woman. She said, well, I think it would be the right thing to do to pay it. Oh, great. So we did. Money orders. 2, going on 3 years, finally paid the thing off. Finally paid it off. I've never, ever challenged that man about that. Not going to. I'm innocent. Well, I'm going to go ahead and pay. Brother House, I laughed. He told me a story about a preacher that went after him. So he sent him a Schofield Bible and with a $100 bill in it and signed it and sent it to the preacher. So I went home, being the smart aleck I am, I wrote Dr. House, said, I hate you, 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 and signed it Bob Gray. We were together a week later. He didn't say anything. 2 weeks later, he didn't say anything. Finally, I said, did you get my letter? And he said, yeah, and you're not getting a Bible either.
Forgiveness is such a huge topic. If you've been forgiven, then surely to not forgive. And it's something no one's mastered. And you could hear a sermon on that topic, that truth. What, thank you, Dr. Gray. Once a month for the rest of your life, and you'd never master it. Amen. It's always a help. Thank you.